Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
It is great to be with you. It's great to be with you. Whether you're joining with us online or you're here with me in the room, you're incredibly welcome. My name's Andy. I'm senior pastor here at the Vineyard, and it again is just a delight to be together. Even though it's strange and socially distanced, it is good to be together and to worship together. I want to begin a short sermon series as we lead up into Advent, and we're calling this little sermon series Discipleship Questions. We just finished Present, God's Presence in Every Home. We were exploring how you can anchor faith and following Jesus deeply in our own lives and in our households, and you can catch up online for anything that you missed there, but we don't just want that to have been a seven-week thing that we did, and now we're moving on into Christmas, and we're completely forgetting about that. So I want to talk about choosing the life of discipleship or following Jesus, that the practices that we talked about during Present really help make up. And so why is this relevant? Why are we talking about this? Why do I want to talk about this with us in November here? Hard to believe it is November. Well, as we've gone in and out of lockdown and in and out maybe again, who knows what is happening? Things are being extended. There's gridlock and division. And we seemingly have been lurching from one global crisis to another. And as we've worried about our jobs, our families, our health, and more, with a hard winter to come, I've been thinking about what is it going to take to make it through? What is it going to take to do well, even under pressure? What is it going to take to live in fruitfulness and faith and peace and joy? What is it going to take to show resilience despite our current circumstances, despite lockdowns and threats of a different kind of Christmas than any of us have ever known before? What will it take to do well in this season? And my answer that I've come up with is it's going to take a disciple's posture. We're going to need a disciple's heart and posture, following Jesus wherever he leads us and committing to the way of Jesus in everything we do. In the Gospels, we see Jesus invite people to become his disciples. And the Greek word for disciple is a word called mathetes, which means student or apprentice to a master or a teacher or a rabbi. But it's not the kind of apprenticeship that we might think. It's not just, you know, you come and you hear a few talks from this teacher and go away and think about them, and that was nice, and you go hear talks from somebody else or something like that. But it was actually to take on the way of that rabbi, teacher, or master, to follow them around and apprentice yourself to them, to learn the ways of the master. And in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, it shows us that Jesus, as he invites us to be his apprentices, it shows us that we can't just hear his words. We must intentionally disciple ourselves to him or apprentice ourselves to him, which includes doing what he says, taking on his way, even down to our daily practice and habits. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Jesus tells us what happens if we do invest and do his words, not just hear his words, and what happens when we don't. When the storms come, we either do well or we don't do well. The issue is have we been and are we building our lives upon him, even down to habit and practice and obedience? And I think we would all agree that we are now in a storm and everything around us is being shaken. And so what posture is required? Well, a disciple's posture that is built upon the rock, committed to practicing the way of Jesus. And if we just leave our present series, God's presence in every home, behind as we head into Christmas, we are going to miss something really important. And there's also something else going on. I believe that in these strange times, the Holy Spirit is leading us into a discernment moment. So much has been lost, so much has been stripped away. It is actually a really humbling time where we are being invited into discernment, into evaluating our own hearts and lives and discipleship. And so to begin this short series, I'm going to take us to Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to let it ask discipleship questions of us. So in Matthew 13, Jesus tells the crowds the parable of the sower. And if you've been around church at all, you've probably heard this parable before. And then he goes on to explain it to his disciples. Jesus often taught in parables, and parables are stories. They invite us deeper in, and they ask questions of us, and they provoke a questioning response. It's more than just a do, don't, and a list. It's actually a story that we begin to enter in and interact with the Holy Spirit with. He often taught in parables. And here's the parable of the sower. Then he said to them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. So the parable of the sower could easily be called the parable of the soils. The parable of the soils, because the key thing that determines the amount of yield in this parable is the type of soil that the seed falls on. It's not a problem with the sower or the amount or the type of seed. The sower has so much seed that he scatters it everywhere. There is more than enough. And the seed, there's no problem with the seed. The seed is potent, and if it gets the right soil, it will produce a huge crop. The issue that Jesus is highlighting here is what type of soil it lands in. And later on, he explains to his closest disciples what he meant by this parable. And in verses 18 to 19, he begins to explain. He says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. And so the seed is the word of God, or the message of the kingdom that Jesus preached, that the kingdom of God has now come in and through him. And we enter the kingdom of God by following Jesus, placing our faith and hope and trust in him, and confessing our need of him as Savior, and then building our whole lives around him and his way. And in the parable, he is the sower. He's going around everywhere, inviting people to come unto him, receive his gracious kingdom, and to follow him. And he is always sowing seed everywhere, looking for good soil. Each soil type represents the condition of people's hearts where the seed falls. And the first type of soil is the hardened path. And that, of course, represents hearts that are hardened, and the enemy just snatches the seed and the word of God and the impetus of God away before they can believe and respond. And sin and brokenness and false narratives build a momentum in our lives, don't they? And they harden us to the voice of Jesus and the reality of his kingdom. And maybe in the midst of lockdown, you have felt your heart hardening, or maybe you're here and today you would say, my heart is actually hard. And right now, I just want to pause and pray. And whether you're watching online at home or whether you're here with me now, and you just want to, if you feel like this is you or you're in danger of this being you, just put your hand on your heart And I'm just going to pray really briefly. Come, Holy Spirit, would you awaken our hearts? Would you soften our hearts today? Lord, we are crying out to you. Lord, have mercy on us. Do what only you can do. Do what we cannot do. Draw us to yourself afresh. Soften our hearts. Well, Jesus moves on. And in verses 20 and 21, he says this: the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So it's rocky ground, soil that looks good on the surface, but just below is a layer of rock. And it starts off well. They receive Jesus and the word and the kingdom with joy, but no roots grow. There's no depth and there's no intention. And so it can't last when trouble, persecution, pain, grief come. And again, the soil in this heart, it initially does well, but it's without roots. And when all is stripped away, it just can't last. And again, the pandemic and lockdown and all that's gone with it has stripped away many of our externals in this season, things that we were relying on. And maybe you have felt your hope and your faith and your intention to follow Jesus fading as all the different things that we have had that we've been able to lean on and were propping us up, as they've been stripped away. And I'm going to pray for you at the end of our talk. If that's you, you would say, right now, I really identify with that soil that's rocky ground. We're going to cry out to the Lord in just a minute for you. Verse 22, the seed falling on thorns, Jesus says, refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. So this represents, the thorns represent distracted and divided hearts. And all's well for a while as the seed and the thorn grow up together, but the thorns, which again, the cares and worries of life, riches and pleasures and the deceitfulness of wealth and all that stuff, they begin to take over. They choke off our life with Jesus and our intention to follow him. And notice it's not snuffed out quickly. It's slowly choked off at a pace at which we hardly notice, until we one day wake up and realize ground that we thought was clear for Jesus and life with him is now occupied. It's now occupied by worry or false narratives that we believe about ourselves, the world, and a God. Or it's occupied by disappointment, or it's occupied by this relentless drive and pursuit of the good life. And maybe lockdown has exposed this for you. Maybe lockdown has exposed that ground that you thought was clear in your life is actually occupied by some of these things. And maybe your question tonight, and again, we're going to pray for you in a moment, is what is competing for my heart? What's competing for my heart? Verse 23, Jesus says, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands that this is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. In other words, it's the seed that falls on good soil that brings a massive harvest. And the picture is a heart that is yielded, or a life that is yielded to Jesus and intentionally builds their life, habits, practices, disciplines over time around him and around his way. And fruitfulness then comes. And there's a massive yield on the sowing of the seed of the kingdom of God. And if you are here or you're watching online, you feel like that's actually my heart. God's done a work in me over lockdown, and praise God. We're going to pray for you in just a second as well. And as I said earlier, I feel like we are in a discernment moment. And if you've been around church for any length of time, again, you've probably heard that parable. And why I think it's important is that we are in a discernment moment. Everything is being stripped away. And one thing that the Spirit of God may be inviting us to ask ourselves is, am I good soil? Am I good soil? Is my household good soil? How would we describe our own hearts, our inner life with Jesus? Are we good soil? Are we capable of receiving what the sower is sowing and then bearing fruit? Are we fruitful? And what if we have an opportunity, beginning today, to be honest and to really seek the Lord as to how we might tend the soil of our hearts and the hearts that fill our homes, so that we would not just survive 2020 and beyond, but we would move towards flourishing and fruitfulness with Jesus that will overflow and bless all around us. And maybe today, as you've heard this parable and you've heard me talking, maybe your reaction to this is, wow, yet another thing in 2020 that I do not want to face, my heart. I don't want to talk about it. I don't even want to think about the condition of my heart. I don't even know if I have the strength to face that today. But I just want to say to you that what if this part of the pandemic time is actually preparation time, a time to work on the soil of our hearts? And what if that's part of the invitation from the Holy Spirit, is he doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to help us work on the soil of our hearts and prepare for a harvest by working the soil. This is actually really good news, because I believe with all of my heart that Jesus has friendship for you, he has flourishing for you, and he has fruitfulness for you. And whether or not today you describe your heart as the hardened soil, the rocky ground, choked off with thorns, whatever you feel like you are today, Jesus has more for you. He is a Savior, and he is a friend, and he has more for you. So do not be discouraged. This is an opportunity to discern things and make changes and reach for more of him in faith. So don't be discouraged, but do seize on this opportunity. And Jesus stands before us today saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Not more tasks to do, not more assignments to do, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Again, he stands before you today as friend, brother, and Lord, able to help, full of love and plentiful redemption and mercy, saying, come unto me. Bring your hardened heart. Bring your heart that's fallen away. Bring your heart that is choked off with distractions, choked off with worries and desires that have come before desiring him. And today, commit before him to re-engage with life as his apprentice, as his follower, and as his friend, learning from him, allowing him to work the soil of our hearts so we are able to do well now and forever, no matter what circumstances we face. And whether you're with me here in the room or whether you're with me online right now, don't miss this moment to pause, to discern, and to respond, to let this passage ask some discipleship questions of us. Am I good soil? Is my household good soil? Is there anywhere where the Spirit of God is reaching out to me tonight and saying, this needs to change? Well, how do we become good soil, or how do we be better soil? How do we do that? Well, two very quick things. First is follow the way of Jesus. Be close to him. Take on habits and practices that keep us in his presence and help us make space for him in our lives and hearts and households. Practices from the Presence series and other spiritual practices that we didn't cover, they don't save us. They don't earn us special points that make God like us better. But they are tried and tested ways that help us become good soil. So you can go to our website, for our present series we just got done with, there are tons of resources to help you try new things, to help you get over some hurdles, to help you persevere in some different areas that will help you work on the condition of your soil. Creative ideas on how to build your life around Jesus and friendship with him for you and your household, whatever that looks like in this stage for you. The second thing, as I close, is this. I believe that churches, not just individuals, also need to ask themselves, are they good soil? Are they good soil? And I just want to honor you, BCV. You are good soil as a church. We are not the best church ever. We're not the biggest church, and we're not the perfect church. But over time and over years, you have proved that you are good soil. And again, over time and over years, you can see steady health and growth of the kingdom of God in our midst. You can see increasing love for the scriptures among us. You can see increased passion in worship of Jesus. You can see compassion towards the other and those who need compassion. You can see radical generosity in our community. You can see robust community amongst us. You can see people taking risks for Jesus' sake. You can see us as a sending community where we've taken our best and sent them out to pursue the kingdom of God even around the globe. You can see that we are a community of perseverance and service and character and hope. So be encouraged. Well done. It will stand us in good stead in these challenging times. But also, if you know you want the soil of your heart, your discipleship posture to change, root and ground yourself here in this community. It's good soil. Let friendships here, activities here, groups here, the rhythms, ways, and practices here, what the Holy Spirit is doing here with this community, form and shape you and help tend the soil of your heart. It's not flashy and it's not dramatic, but it's good soil. Taking on practices, habits that keep us in the presence of Jesus in your life, and then planting yourself amongst good soil will bring radical transformation and change. Let's not miss this moment to allow the scriptures and the Spirit of God speaking through them to ask us questions, to invite us to discern, are we good soil? And where can we tend the soil and invite the Holy Spirit in to do more? I want to invite you to stand. I just want to pray for us briefly. Why don't you go ahead and stand? And if you're online with us at home, you can stand as well. And we're just going to pray. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you stir our hunger for more of Jesus in the midst of lockdown and pandemic and seemingly one crisis after another and pressures and challenges and stresses? Would we not miss a moment to grow in our worship and passion for Jesus? Would you stir our hunger for more of Jesus? Would you also search our hearts today? Would you help us be honest? Are we good soil? Would you expand our vision of what it means to follow Jesus and be in friendship with him forever? We want to be fruitful. And so where we have hard hearts, would you soften us? Where we don't have any roots right now, would you help our roots and our intention to have those roots go down deep into you, Lord Jesus? And where we need clarity and focus to clear the ground of our hearts, where it's become choked off, would you help us renounce things that have gotten in the way of our discipleship and obedience to you, Jesus. Would you give us the truth that the scriptures provide, a true perspective of heaven about what is important and who is important and all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Would that be our root and our grounding and the thing that clears the ground in preparation to help us be good soil? Would you help us not miss this moment, this serious moment? Help us not to waste that what you're doing in this pandemic. And we believe that you will lead us to flourishing and harvest and a deep legacy of hope. Just in the quiet of your hearts, I'm just going to give you a moment. Again, whether you're here with me or whether you're joining us online, still your heart for a moment. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We give you freedom to minister to your people. Bring the peace of Jesus, but show us the more that you are inviting us into. Come, Holy Spirit. Rest on your people. Amen. If you are watching online and you would like somebody to pray with you, you can go to our website and sign up for one of the Zoom slots, and we would be thrilled to join and pray over you via Zoom. If you're here with me in the room and you would like prayer, once I give the benediction and dismiss everyone, if you'll just stay in your seats, that's the signal to know that the team will come and in a socially distanced way will pray with you right here in the room today. And so whether you're online or you're here with me now, I'm going to give a benediction and a blessing to you. And then we'll dismiss and move on. But if you do want prayer, sign up online or just stay in your seat and we'll come to you and pray for you. So now, Belfast City Vineyard, scattered and gathered, I just bless you that you are good soil. And I just bless you to live in that identity that you are part of a community that is good soil. And so the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.